While attending a sacrament meeting during the summer months, I was fortunate to hear a message from three students who were home for the summer. One of the talks especially interested me. She had been working during the summer recess in a restaurant frequented by truck drivers. One driver, who had a regular run, stopped at the restaurant on the same day each week to eat. The regularity of the stop created an opportunity for a short visit. He asked the young lady where she lived. She reported that she was home for the summer to earn money to go return to school in the fall. His next question, "Where do you attend school?" Her answer with pride, "BYU Idaho." He wanted to know more about the school, which led to a gospel discussion. Her first approach was to teach him about the word of wisdom. She was successful. She convinced him to give up smoking. Then her shift was changed, and she no longer had the opportunity to serve him. So she wrote him a note and enclosed a church missionary tract about the plan of salvation. After several days, she received a note from the driver. It simply said, "You've created a monster." Thanks to this young woman, he had found information which caused him to think about the changes he must make in his life. I do not know the full outcome of the encounter between the waitress and the truck driver, but it is clear that his life was affected. Then she went on to explain how easy it is to let others know about the beauties of the gospel. Opportunities are there every day in our normal pursuits of life to open our mouths and let people know of the gospel truths that will bless them here and now and in the eternities to come. Many people wonder, where did we come from? Why are we here? And where are we going? Our eternal Father did not send us to earth on an aimless, meaningless journey. He provided for us a plan. He is the author of that plan. It is designed for man's progress and ultimate salvation and exaltation. Quoting from the missionary guide, "Preach My Gospel," God is the Father of our spirits. We are literally His children. He loves us. We live as spirit children of our Father in heaven before we were born on this earth. We were not, however, like our Father in heaven, nor could we ever become like Him or enjoy all of His blessings that He enjoys without the experience of living immortality with a physical body. God's whole purpose, His work, and His glory is to enable each of us to enjoy all of His blessings. He has provided a perfect plan to accomplish His purposes. We understood and accepted this plan before we came to earth. Yet there are many people in the world who continue to struggle to find answers to life's most basic questions. The cries of "lo here" and "lo there" only grow louder and many more times confusing. Technology has multiplied the confusion by spreading these messages throughout the airwaves and across the massive amounts of cable lines that now cover the earth. There are so many avenues to broadcast more and more different messages. I guess it should not be surprising that people are confused. Centuries ago, Paul predicted, "The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrines, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn their ears away from truth and shall be turned unto fables." We need not be confused. The answer to the puzzling questions regarding the purpose of life have been given to mankind for our guidance. We first heard about the plan of salvation before we were born in what the scriptures call our first estate. What occurred in this first estate is dimly understood, but we know that we lived there as spirit children of our Father in heaven, and we made certain steps of advancement, to prepare for the opportunity of housing our eternal spirits in an earthly body. As we also know that our Father held a great council to explain the purpose of earthly life, we had the opportunity of accepting or rejecting the plan of salvation. It was not forced upon us. The essence of the plan was that man would have an opportunity of working out his own salvation on earth with God's help. A leader was selected to teach us how to follow the plan and to redeem us from sin and death. As the Lord explained to Moses, "Behold, my beloved Son, which was my beloved and chosen from the beginning, said unto me, Father, thy will be done, and the glory be thine forever." Jesus Christ, our early elder brother, became the leader in advocating the plan designed by the Father, and we accepted the plan and its conditions. With that choice, we earned the right to come to earth and enter our second estate. God created Adam and Eve in his own image with bodies of flesh and bones and placed them in the Garden of Eden and were given the choice to either remain in the garden or partake of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil and have the opportunity of experiencing mortality. They accepted the challenge, partook of the fruit, and thus became mortal and subject to physical death. Because of their choice, they would experience all of the trials and difficulties of mortality. There were two purposes for life and mortality. The first was that we would gain experiences that we could obtain in no other way. The second was to obtain tabernacles of flesh and bones. Both of these purposes are vital to the existence of man. We are now being tested and tried to see if we'll do all of the things the Lord has commanded us to do. These commandments are the principles and ordinances of the gospel, and they constitute the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every principle and ordinance has a bearing upon the whole purpose of our testing, which is to prepare us to return to our Heavenly Father and become more like Him. Elder Bruce R. McConkie has said this about following the straight and narrow path. What I think all of us need to do is to determine where we stand in the field of every mortal endeavor. Then, based on the general overall concepts that are clear and plain, we make a determination on how we will live in this field or in that field in order to pass the probationary state, in order to succeed in the test of mortality. If we make the right choices, we'll go on to our eternal rewards, and if we do not, then we'll get some lower, lesser place in the kingdoms that are prepared. Everyone in the church who is on the straight and narrow path, who is striving and struggling and desiring to do that which is right, though he is far from perfect in this life, if he passes out of this life while he's on the straight and narrow, he is going on to eternal rewards in our Father in Heaven's kingdom. All of this is made possible by our Lord and Savior. He is the centerpiece of the eternal plan of the Father, the Savior who was provided as a ransom for mankind. God sent his beloved Son to overcome the fall of Adam and Eve. He came to earth as our Savior and Redeemer. He overcame the physical death for us by giving up his own life. When he died on the cross, his spirit became separated from his body. On the third day, his spirit and body were reunited eternally, never to be separated again. Life on this earth is of limited duration. There comes a time for all of us when the spirit and the body are separated in death. But because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we will all be resurrected, regardless of whether we have accomplished good are evil in this life. Immortality is a gift to every child of our Father in heaven. Death must be viewed as a portal to a new and better life. Through the glorious resurrection, body and spirit will be reunited. We will have a perfect immortal body of flesh and bones that will never be subjected to pain or death. But the glory we attain to in the next life will depend on our performance in this life. Only through the gift of the atonement and our obedience to the gospel can we return and live with God once again. After the resurrection of the Savior, his apostles went forth to preach the glorious message to the nations of the earth. They traveled extensively as they taught the mission of the Savior. A great movement of Christianity started to spread throughout many lands, but the church gradually drifted into a general apostasy, which caused the succession of the priesthood to be broken. The authority to officiate in spiritual ordinances ceased to exist on earth. Gradually inspired men started to bring forth a reformation. President Hinckley has described it as the dawn of a brighter day. He said, "Somehow in the long season of darkness, a candle was lighted. The age of Renaissance brought with it a flowering of learning, art, and science. There came a movement of bold and courageous men and women who looked heavenward in acknowledgement of God and his divine Son. We speak of it as the Reformation. And then after many generations had walked the earth, so many of them in conflict, hatred, darkness, and evil, there arrived a great new day of the restoration. This glorious gospel was ushered in with the appearance of the Father and the Son to the boy Joseph. The dawn of the dispensation of the fullness of times rose upon the world. All the good, the beautiful, the divine of all previous dispensations was restored in this most remarkable season." Following the glorious event of the first vision, the sacred record of the Book of Mormon was delivered to the prophet Joseph Smith. This brought a new witness of our Lord and Savior and his mission to the peoples of the earth. Thus we see the eternal plan of our Father, that his love has no bounds. Every one of his children is included. All men have the same origin and equal possibility to fulfill their eternal destiny. The Book of Mormon prophet Amulek testifies that the words of Christ will bring us our salvation when he said, "And now, my brethren, I would that after ye have received so many witnesses, seeing that the Holy Scriptures testify of these things, ye come forth and bring forth fruit unto repentance. Yea, I would that you would come forth and harden not your hearts any longer. For behold, now is the time and the day for your salvation. And therefore, if ye will repent and harden not your hearts, immediately shall the great plan of redemption be brought about unto you. For behold, in this life is the time for men to prepare to meet God. Yea, behold, the day of this life is the day for men to perform their labors." Let us be no more tossed to and fro by every worldly wind of doctrine of men. We declare to the world that the heavens are open and the truth of God's eternal plan has again been made known to mankind. We live in the dispensation of the fullness of times. We live in a day when we have the witness through the Scriptures of the great plan the Lord has given to his children from the beginning of time down to this present and last dispensation. The evidence is so well documented. We are not left alone to wander through mortality without knowing the master plan which the Lord has designed for his children. He has bound himself by solemn covenant to give us the blessings of heaven according to our obedience to his law. Oh, remember, remember that these things are true, for the Lord God has revealed these eternal truths unto us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.